All right, so here's how we're going to do it tonight. We're going to start a new series. I'm going to tell you a short story about my daughter. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to have at it. So I hope you're ready. I am excited. First, story about my daughter, a little fun fact. So today, and it's also a praise report, because this past weekend, and then it was confirmed today as I got home from being at the office, and I played with Emma for a little bit. She's almost 7 months old. And I laid her down on the couch, put the blanket over her face because she can't sleep without the blanket over her face, which is tremendously scary at first, but then you realize she's okay. And so after a few minutes of Emma sleeping, we started to hear a noise. And yeah, that was my wife laughing because she knows what the noise was. And yeah, so Emma's going... Yeah, so my almost seven-month daughter is snoring on the couch. And I'm like, yes, she is snoring. I cannot wait to videotape this and show it to every single boy that ever comes over. Ever. So now, yes, I am so, so excited. So, Emma, I know you're not able to use a podcast right now, but if one day you're ever listening to this and you heard that, I'm sorry, but I am actually going to do that. So, and that was actually also a note to my wife to make sure that she's recording. Yeah, which she is, so there we go. All right, so I'm going to pray for us as we get started. I hope you really enjoy that story because I enjoyed telling it. God, we just thank you for the chance to be here. God, we thank you that we can be here at Mr. Jefferson's University. And God, we thank you that we are called to a community like this. God, we thank you for Chi Alpha and what it has meant to each one of us. And God, as we open a new series tonight, we just pray that you would be with us. God, that you would open our hearts as you would open them, and that you would speak to us like only you can. And God, I don't disclude myself from this, and just say, God, would you speak to me also? Would you speak to us as we look at this text in the book of Acts tonight? And God, would you be with us this semester as we look at your gospel going viral? In your son's name we pray. Amen. Wow. Wow, That was shocking. Or was it? Oh, or was it? Yes, yes. You all got set up by the staff. So here's what happened. Yeah, that's right. You guys thought you were all tricking me, but it turns out we set you up. Yeah, this is what happens when Pete's out of town. We just play jokes. No, well, we were talking in staff the other week, and as we're looking at a series through the book of Acts where the gospel goes viral, we thought through, you know, how can we see the picture of something going viral? You know, we can look at YouTube videos, you know, Marcel the Shell, or, you know, absolutely. We can look at websites that have gone viral. We can look at all different kinds of things that go viral, or we can try to make something go viral in Chi Alpha. And so as some of you came in, I think a few of the staff members pulled aside one or two students and said, hey, we're going to play a trick on Josh, which, you know, everybody's going to get behind that. And so when Josh prays, stand up. We had to make you stand up so that we actually knew how many of you would do it. Because if you just yell, it would just be a loud mess. But now I got to actually see how many of you got the message. And I think it was probably a little over half, which is pretty impressive. So in about 30 minutes time, an hour's time max, the message got spread from 1 to 2 to 4 to however many half of you is. You can do the math, or I'll let Matt Hensley do it because he's an engineer and I'm not. So that's exciting. That I was really afraid that only one of you was gonna do it. And, you know, I already had this paragraph written in my notes, and so I was going to have to, like, edit that on the fly and be like, why was it just Hayen that stood up and yelled? Because Hayen pulled me aside, and she's like, hey, I'm just wondering, are you, like, a nervous speaker? If, I mean, it, are you like easily thrown off your game? And I'm like, ha 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 ha. All right, so how do we bring that back to the gospel? How do we bring that back to the text? And as we take this flyover look at the book of Acts, we're going to see the gospel go viral in the early church. We're going to see it start with 12, 13, 14, and grow to what it is today, to millions, billions of people. How does that happen? How did it happen? And what part do we play in that? And as we look at our text tonight, if you look at our text this semester, I am excited to see how this plays out and how it's going to play out for each one of us. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses tonight for our introduction to the viral series. I hope you all like the logo. I worked really hard on it. Yeah, that's actually not true. Ethan did it. But I did give him a yellow piece of paper that looked nothing like that, and that's what he made. So it's much better than what I drew. All right, so why don't we read starting in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Man, that'd have been crazy stuff to be around for those 40 days as Jesus just spoke about the kingdom. Anyways, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" If you spent any time in the Gospels, you know that this is a question that the disciples are asking over and over and over again. At this time, are we going to take political control? Come on, Jesus, we're ready. And now you're back from the dead. And so, come on, now it's got to be the time, right? And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Huh, well, that seems like a no. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then get this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So right before their very eyes, Jesus ascends. And we still wait his coming back. Right before their very eyes, Jesus ascends. And the last thing he says to them is those words that we just read in verses 7 and 8. I've seen many theologians say that verse 8, which we have here, is really the framework for Luke's second gospel, for the book of Acts. That verse 8 is really how things play out for the rest of Acts. And as we take a look throughout the rest of Acts, our framework is going to be around this verse. As we see, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we can't miss the power of the moment. We can't miss what is happening in the disciples' lives as Jesus says this to him and then ascends to heaven. At that moment, the disciples had to have such a big picture of God. Such a big picture of who Jesus was, who he came to be, and everything that he had said for all those years just had to be coming back to them. And they had to be encouraged, they had to be excited, they had to be scared, and they had to be thinking, what are we going to do? how is this going to play out for us? What do you mean he's not going to come back? What do you mean it's up to us? But the good thing is that Jesus left him a game plan. That Jesus told him exactly what to do. Exactly what to do to carry the gospel forward until he comes back. And so we're just going to take a look tonight at that game plan. We're going to take a look tonight at this verse, Acts 1:8, and we're going to unpack it a little bit. And then we're going to have some prayer for spring break trips and for what everybody else is doing over break at the end. And then you're going to go home. And it's my understanding that some of you are going to leave early for an intramural soccer game, which I understand. I can't stop you from leaving. That also was not in my notes. You really should just stick to your notes. Anyway, so what does this word witnesses mean? What does the word witness mean? You heard Matt mention it in his testimony, and as Matt was talking through what it means to be a witness, what does it mean? Well, the Greek word there is where we get the word martyr, martyr. So is that what witnesses mean? That all of us need to go be martyrs? So, okay, if you're on the right side here, my right, you all go be martyrs in Jerusalem. You all go be martyrs in Judea and Samaria in the middle. And you all go be martyrs in the ends of the earth. Go. So that'd just be quicker than me going through the rest of it. So note that none of them are leaving. No, I mean that can be what it means, but in its purest sense, in what Luke is trying to say here is that it is one who testifies, one who tells what he or she has seen, one who's able to go into a court of law and be an eyewitness and share what they have seen. So the disciples have plenty of stories that they have seen, plenty of stories that they can share of what God has done in their life, in the same way that you and I do. So, all right, we got the witnesses thing down, and we see that the Holy Spirit is going to help us. I should have capitalized that S, I'm sorry. But what does it mean, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? How would the disciples have understood that, and how should we understand that today? Should it be you all go to Jerusalem, you all go to Judea and Samaria, and you all go to the ends of the earth? Maybe the middle section should go to the ends of the earth, since there's more in the middle section. And the ends of the earth is probably the bigger of the categories. Are you guys laughing because I said probably? You're like, it's definitely the bigger of the categories. No, let's take a closer look at those. So, Let's talk about Jerusalem first. This is a map of Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem. Some of you may not be able to see it. Some of you may recognize it. That's Scott Stadium here. Right here. So yeah, this is Charlottesville, the University of Virginia, your Jerusalem, for the purposes of our conversation tonight. As the disciples understood Jerusalem, they understood where we are right now. As we saw earlier in the text, Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait in Jerusalem. And so the disciples are in Jerusalem, and so when Jesus says in Jerusalem, they understand that is where we are living right now, our home. And so as we look at what it means for us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, we have to understand it as that. I understand that you being college students, you probably have two Jerusalems right now, unless you're Taylor Leathers, who's from Charlottesville. You kind of have a place back home where you came from, and then Charlottesville. We could turn the lights back on. And those would be your two Jerusalems. And Jerusalem would be the place that you're the most comfortable in. Jerusalem would be the place that you go about your day-to-day, where you're from. And Jerusalem is the place where the gospel started going viral. Jerusalem is the place where it started going viral. And for us as a fellowship, for us as a community, for us as individual Christians, that's where it starts for us too. It starts in Jerusalem. So I know that in my own life, as I live and go throughout my day in Jerusalem, or Charlottesville, I always try to find people that I can rub shoulders with, that I can be a witness to. One of the ways that I've done this is I play softball on Wednesday nights in the city. Now, I play softball because I love softball. I play softball because I can't hit a curveball. I really want to say anymore, but you can really just say ever. So I just can't do it. I never could. I remember the first one that was thrown at me, I dove down on the ground, which is terribly embarrassing at like 15. Like, it wasn't even like 8 or 9. Nope. I was almost driving a car, scared of a curveball. Anyways, so through those relationships that I build with my softball team, I'm able to be a witness. I'm able to share stories of what I've seen, of what God is doing in my life, what God is doing in my family's life, what God's doing through my daughter, and how God is opening my eyes. I know that for you, many of you have the chance to do this in your dorm room, to do this in your classroom, in your large lectures as you sit around the same people every Tuesday, Thursday for an hour and 15 minutes, or every Monday, Wednesday for 50 minutes. And I hope none of you take Friday classes, because that's a poor life choice. Yeah, that'll preach. I'm hilarious. Wow. And so think through that. That's what the disciples would have thought through. What relationships do I have right now where I'm living? And so what relationships do you have right now where you're living? Our next category is going to be Judea and Samaria. This one's a little bit more confusing. So I actually have the actual map from Google Images. So Jerusalem is here, the dot. And then the two circles are Samaria and Judea. And so what the disciples would have heard when Jesus said Judea and Samaria is those places around you. The next concentric circle. Start in Jerusalem and then move out one concentric circle. Judea and Samaria. So what does that look like for us? What does that mean for us as modern day Christians? What is Judea and what is Samaria? I think for us it means, for many of us in this room, as we think through Judea and Samaria, we think through what is in our comfort zone? What are places that share the same culture, that share the same values? What are places where there's no language barrier? The next concentric circle out for us in a day of, you know, travel where you can travel across the world through your computer, the next concentric circle isn't always physical, but maybe it's a comfort zone. And so as I think through that, for me and maybe for many of you, it seems like the United States would be Judea and Samaria for me. I'd be very comfortable traveling up and down the East Coast, traveling out west, and being a witness in that light. And many of you in this room, unless you're like me, you will eventually leave Charlottesville. What will happen is you will graduate from the university. I know it sounds like a tragedy now, but it really is an exciting time. And you will move to your Judea and Samaria. And you will move to a place where you can be a witness in a different light. And so what does that look like? And so I got a couple of stories of alumni who have graduated. Many of you know Tyler Nelson and Logan Euler. Wow, not many of you actually. There we go, more of you now. And what they're doing is they have both relocated to Northern Virginia, Samaria, and because it's to the north, which actually many of you will relocate there also. And what they're doing is they're helping out with Chi Alpha. So they go to George Mason Chi Alpha or an American Chi Alpha and help disciple young men and women. They're not the only story. The other story that I have, has anybody ever heard of a group of guys who travel around in a Windstar? Has anybody ever heard of the Windstar Boys? Can I get a show of hands? Heard of the Windstar Boys? Yeah, so a few of you. So I don't know, some of the guys in the fellowship, they took a van across country over break, and they did a little blog about it. And so as they travel the country, as you travel the country, as many of you do for conferences, for spring break trips, to visit other colleges, to see friends, you can be a witness in the next concentric circle. Or like many of the other Chi Alpha graduates who have graduated with me, before me, and are now working at a local church, leading a small group, attending faithfully, being an elder, or going or ministering to someone in the cubicle next to them. They're being a witness. They're telling what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they know firsthand in Judea and Samaria. Now to the ends of the earth. Yeah, viral logo again. So the ends of the earth. Now the thing about the ends of the earth is you have to understand what it means in Greek. What the ends of the earth, and the actual Greek phrase means the ends of the earth. Yeah, that was the joke. And but to really understand it, you have to know what the disciples would have heard. So now we know what it means in Greek. You have to understand what the disciples would have heard when Jesus said the ends of the earth. The disciples would have heard the ends of the earth. That's also what they would have heard. Yes. Woo, yeah, that was great. So, the ends of the earth, what does that mean for us? It means the ends of the earth. It means that we as Christians, that we as witnesses, have to go to the ends of the earth. That it can't just stop in our next concentric circle of Judea and Samaria. It has to go another concentric circle. In order for the gospel to go viral, in order for the gospel to go viral in today's world, we have to go to the ends of the earth. Now I'll say this about your generation. Your generation is way more willing to go to the ends of the earth than my generation. I kind of consider myself maybe in the generation above you, though I might not be. Well, I'll say this. You all in those chairs are way more willing to go to the ends of the earth than I am. The ends of the earth has always been a scary one for me. But I meet more and more young people, more and more young men and women who say, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to Vietnam. I want to go to South Korea. I want to go to China. I want to go to the ends of the earth. I want to go to Egypt. I want to go to Europe. I want to study in London. And here's the question that I want us to ask ourselves as we go to the ends of the earth. And I'm not trying to be a prophet. I'm just trying to get us to ask a question tonight. Are we willing to go to the ends of the earth to be a witness? Or are we willing to go to the ends of the earth for an experience? Are we really hoping to get another stamp in our passport book and have another notch on our belt to get ready to do all these things so that we can come home and tell stories about it? Or are we really going to the ends of the earth to be a witness? And I think for many of you, the answer is yes. We are willing to be witnesses. We are excited about being witnesses. I can't wait to be a witness in the ends of the earth. But I do think that that's a question that you all are going to have to ask, that we are going to have to ask as we continue to go to the ends of the earth, is are we trying to be a witness by the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we looking for an experience? And so now that we've kind of looked at the three concentric circles, I can't help but realize that as Jesus said these three concentric circles to the disciples, and then he left, I always picture Jesus standing up there and saying, there's no plan B. Maybe he was too far off up in the cloud and Luke didn't get to write it down. But that's what I picture. Jesus looking down and saying, it's up to you. Will you let my gospel go viral? Will you do what it takes in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? Because there is no plan B. And we as the church, we as the people of God, are the hope of the world. And I believe that with all my heart. And that we have a unique opportunity to do some crazy, amazing things to go on exhilarating adventures, to have exhausting experiences. And we have the chance to be witnesses to those around us, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus who was died, who was buried, and who was resurrected and then ascended. The God of all glory, the God of all power, and we get a chance to just to tell people about him wherever we are. And to me, that is mind-numbing. The God who fed 5,000 with, you know, a couple pieces of bread and some fish puts it up to us. And he says, I want you to do it. I want you to share in my joy. I want you to be able to tell your friends. And I want you to be able to tell the world about me. And so we, as a church today, get the chance to do that. I know what some of you are thinking. You're sitting here saying, well, Josh, yeah, but I don't even have a passport. I'm like you. I'm a little scared to go to the ends of the earth. I don't think that's where I want to go. I'd be way more interested in just staying in Jerusalem. Way more interested in just staying in Judea and Samaria. The ends of the earth, I'm not quite as excited about. I just want to say that's okay. I'll take that. I'll say that that's where I was for many, many years. And I'll say that that's where some of the disciples stayed. Some of the disciples stayed in Jerusalem, built the church there, died there. Some of the disciples went to the next circle, Judea and Samaria, stayed there. And then some of the disciples went to the ends of the earth and stayed there. And so what I want us to do tonight, what I want us to do the rest of the semester at UVA, is to understand which circle we're in and which circle we feel like we're going to head to, and be prepared to take Jesus with us. Be prepared to take Jesus to our dorm room. Be prepared to take Jesus' stories to Stacks. Be prepared to take Jesus' stories to Northern Virginia, to Atlanta, to Colorado. Be prepared to take Jesus' stories across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, which is a hard word for me to say. And be prepared to just be that witness. And it doesn't have to be intimidating. What Jesus told the disciples is just tell them what you've seen. Tell them what you've seen happen in your own life. Tell them your testimony, as we heard one tonight. I mean, we were all moved as Matt shared tonight. Share that with your friends. Share that with your dorm mates. Share that in each concentric circle. And I really believe that the gospel will go viral, will continue to go viral. And as we look at the rest of this series, the rest of the semester, we'll get to see how the early church did it. We'll get to learn some lessons about what the early church did right and what some of the things that were funny stories, that were scary stories. We'll get a chance to journey with them as their gospel goes viral. And now we get the chance to pick up the baton and run with it. And in a state of divine fortune, I get to speak to you tonight about the gospel going viral, about three concentric circles, and I think that's going to be happening this weekend. Are you guys ready for spring break? Yeah. I know I am very ready for spring break. I'm so excited to get on the plane and go to Costa Rica. Yes, and you know, it's going to be hot, there's going to be coffee, there's going to be pineapple, and it's just going to be awesome. I am so excited about it. And so I hope you all are excited about spring break too. And so we're going to take a time and pray for our spring break. And we're going to pray for everybody in this room as we each go to a concentric circle. And so if the three students who are going to pray would come up now, we're just going to take it one concentric circle at a time. We're going to have a student who has been in one of these concentric circles and has seen God move, pray for us. And so we're going to start with Jerusalem. And so if any of you are going home for spring break, if you are staying in Charlottesville for spring break, or if you are going to what you would consider your Jerusalem, why don't you stand up? And Sarah is going to lead us all in a prayer for those of us going to Jerusalem.
If you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, I pray now for everybody here that's standing with me. All of us that are going to spend our spring break in Jerusalem, Father, whether that be here in Charlottesville or in the home of our parents, God. And I pray that this be a time of rest and rejuvenation, God, but that it also be a time of the breaking of patterns and a releasing of joy, God, that we would experience joy in our homes, that we would know that when we have you in our heart, God, no matter where we are, that we do have that joy and that hope, Lord. And I also ask that you make every single person standing a prayer warrior, God. Mm-hmm. I think about how blessed we are to be in this community with so many strong people around us, Lord, and how much we still need prayer. We still need to lean on each other and mm-hmm. to love each other, Lord. And I think about our parents who so often don't have that, our siblings, the friends in our hometown, God. We are so blessed. And please just help us to share that blessing with all of the people in our Jerusalem, mm-hmm. that we wouldn't be content just being quiet, God, that we would speak to people and that we would speak to you in intercession, Lord. I thank you for blessing us with this chance to mm-hmm. to be home and to love, Lord, and to grow stronger. Mm-hmm. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, all of you who are going to Judea and Samaria, so if you're going here in the United States, if you're going to Daytona Beach, if you're going to one of the Habitat trips, if you're going to the Dream Center, yeah, if you are going to Judea and Samaria, Colin is going to pray for us.
Pray with me. Oh, Lord, we just, we come before you humbly, God, and we offer you this time, Lord, mm-hmm. this week ahead of us. God, we're setting aside just a meager week, and we ask that you would do something much bigger with it, Lord. Mm-hmm. God, that you would work years, months, God, down the road through this week that we give. Lord, we pray as we set out into our own Judeas and Samarias, God, that you would go with us. Lord, that you would go with us in our travels. God, that you would protect us as we drive, Lord, to these different areas. God, we pray that you would protect us as we work. Mm-hmm. God, as we use our hands and our minds and, Lord, everything we have, God, we give it to you, God, and we ask that you would use it for the furthering of your kingdom here. God, in this country that we're so blessed to live in. Mm-hmm. God, we pray that you would begin to bind the hearts together of the teams that are going out. Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask that you would be at the center of all of our interactions. Lord, that the people we interact with in these places, God, that they would know you by our love for one another.
Yes, God.
God, we pray that we would just display these deeper, more meaningful relationships, God. Mm-hmm. We know that that can only come through you. Lord, we thank you for multiplying our work, God, for being in all that we do. Lord, we thank you for when what we feel like we're doing is small, God, that you are bigger. God, that you are greater and that you are stronger. And Lord, we have great expectations in that. And we pray all these things in your son's name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. All right, now for those of us that are going to the ends of the earth with Chi Alpha, with Alternative Spring Break, with anyone really, go ahead and stand. And Chi Chi is going to pray for us.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the gospel with people in other nations. Thank you for the two trips to Spain and Costa Rica. Your word declares that it's not by might and it's not by power, but by your spirit. And so, Father, we're not going and with the arm of the flesh. We're not going in our own power, in our own might, but we go in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we go by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for every student on this trip. Lord, I pray that they'll go and come back changed and transformed. Lord, equip them, prepare them, set our hearts on fire to evangelize in every way possible. Grant us wisdom. Wisdom to know how to approach people. Wisdom to know what to say and how to answer questions. Lord, your word declares that we shouldn't premeditate on what to say, but at the time when we need it, your spirit will give us words, such wisdom that can be refuted by men. We ask for this, Lord. As we minister to people, as we share with them, as we hang out and love them, blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that you work on their hearts and convict them. Reveal Jesus to them. They'll never be the same again. Grant us divine appointments that will change these nations forever. Thank you, Father, for this awesome privilege. In Jesus' mighty name of praying, amen.
Amen. Amen. So as we close tonight out, I encourage you as you go throughout the rest of this week, as you go to each of your concentric circles next week, to look for a chance to be a witness, to share your story, to share what you have seen, and to do so to the glory of God. So I pray that you all would have great weeks, and that we will see you all in 2 weeks. Look for those divine appointments as you're gone. I'll send an email out at the end of break, and so if you've got a story you want to share, we as a staff would love to hear it. So look for those chances as you are here for the rest of the week and then on spring break. So have a great time, and I look forward to seeing you all back.